You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 11, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. That's easy to remember. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then we pray fervently for everybody who comes. I pray for each person one by one, individually, as the Holy Spirit leads according to His wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Prayer is one of your greatest power, so that's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We have healings, and we have deliverance from drugs and alcohol. We have words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy. To God be the glory. Boy, Wednesday's your party. You shouldn't miss them. And so you're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway, excuse me, and right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the Hall of Faith. Why is that? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the just shall live by faith. And we're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have faith that God sent His only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us, Yeshua Jesus, who took all of our sins on His body. He died for our sins. He shed His blood for our sins. He arose from the dead. So we believe that. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, come, let's take a tour of the Faith House. Come, let's take a tour of the Faith House. Now, I see some of you are wearing good shoes. You're wearing the My Slippers from Mike Lindell's My Pillow. That's good. Your My Slippers are comfortable. I also see some of you got a nice bottle of water from Scott Merson's The Produce Place, so we're ready. Okay? Let's go to the Faith House. Ready? Oh, isn't it beautiful? Wow. You don't see it? Of course you don't see it. It's the Faith House. We walk by faith, not by sight. And Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, there it is. Look, there's the door. We want to go in that door. But look at the door. Wow, the door is the Good Shepherd. The door is Jesus. John 10, the only way we can go to the Faith House is through the door. So the door is locked. So we got to have a key. I've got my key. You put the key in the door and the door opens. My key is a key of faith. I put my faith in the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, we're inside. Wow. What a magnificent hall of faith. Oh, it's like a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions, many resting places, many rooms. Let's tour the first room.
Verse 11.
There's a sign here. It's called the Laughing Room. Genesis 17, Genesis 18. Let's go in there and laugh.
Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed. I was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Now, in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham was pushing 100, and Sarah, his wife, was pushing 90, and they were past childbearing age. But God said, you're going to have a son, Isaac, and in Isaac's son shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because in Isaac's seed is going to come God's only begotten son, the Messiah, who will wash away the sins of the world, and anyone in Jesus is blessed. So in Genesis 17, Abraham, who's pushing 100, laughed. I mean, he wasn't making fun of God, but I mean, the honeymoon had been over a long time. And then in Genesis 18, Sarah heard God tell Abraham that again. They didn't believe it the first time. And she was listening behind the tent curtain, and she said, am I going to have pleasure in my old age? But she did. She brought forth Isaac. Good, that's a laughter room. Let's go to the next room.
Verse 12.
Oh, the title is The 12 Tribes of Israel, Genesis 15.
Therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead.
Abraham, almost 100.
So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand by the seashore innumerable.
So God said, Abraham, you're going to have Isaac. Isaac's going to have a son, and through that genealogy, there are going to be so many descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons of 12 tribes of Israel, and they are multiplied, and they are as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And they're alive all over the world today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the 12 tribes. Let's go to the next room.
Verse 13.
Oh, the title, The Vision Room, Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, the people perish.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, I were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Now so the Abrahamic family grew, and all of them had a vision. They knew the Messiah was going to come through their lineage. All of them died before they saw Jesus, but they saw with their mind's eye the vision. God has given you a vision. Look out. You're going to let your business, you're going to let your drugs, you're going to let your alcohol, you're going to let your self-centeredness, you're going to let your video games, you're going to let your girlfriends and your boyfriends and your businesses and your money and me, myself, and I take that vision from you. Where there's no vision, the people perish. We're not through with the vision room. Let's look a little more in the vision room.
Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
All of those knew that when Messiah came, that those who would believe in Jesus would live in a country not made with hand, the heavenly country, heaven on earth. So they were thinking of that country, heaven on earth. That was their vision. Is your vision just about yourself right now? Or is your vision the eternal heaven on earth and your spot there? Let's go to another room.
Verse 15.
Look, the title on this, Do Not Look Back. Genesis chapter 19. This is a do not look back, don't turn back room.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
Remember in Genesis 12, we taught this last week, God said, Abraham, you take Sarah and leave your father's country, the Ur of the Chaldees, today's Iraq. And he said, I'm not telling you where you're going, but I'll lead you there. Well, Abraham could have said, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. I was more comfortable there. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I was in a comfort zone. Now I don't know where I'm going, and I'm a little bit homesick. But Abraham never turned back, and he finally came to the promised land, and the promised Messiah came. Somebody else did turn back. Don't you turn back. Abraham had a nephew named Lot, and Lot lived in an evil city called Sodom and Gomorrah. Every sin in the world was there, and God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, because they've totally gone too far. But he said, Lot, take your wife and your two virgin daughters and get out of Sodom. But he said, Lot, wife, two daughters, do not look back. If you look back, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Out they came. Lot's wife turned back as she turned a pillar of salt. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. But you keep going back to not believing. You keep going back to the drugs, back to the alcohol, back to me, myself, and I, back to your comfort zone. Don't look back. Let's tour another room.
Verse 16.
Oh, look at the sign. The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem.
But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 7.
Okay, in Ezekiel chapter 16, God fell madly in love with Jerusalem. David had founded Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the city of peace. And in Bible times, men wore skirts. And when he married a bride, he put his skirt over her, and that consummated the marriage. They were married. So in Ezekiel 16, God symbolically put his skirt over Jerusalem. And he said, I am marrying Jerusalem. This is going to be my eternal home for all eternity. Now the Antichrist is about to come, the sixth trump. His time's been shortened for the elect's sake, thank God. And then Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Then we have the day of the Lord, 1,000 years of teaching right here on earth. Nobody's flying away in our spirit bodies. The millennium. We have the great white throne judgment. And then Revelation 21, where we'll see the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of lights, the city four square, coming down on earth. The New Jerusalem, heaven on earth. Wow.
Amen.
Let's tour another room. 17. This room is called the Faith is an Act Room. Faith is an act room. Genesis 22.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son.
God decided to test Abraham. If my son's going to come through your lineage, you better have some good faith in you. So God said, Abraham, take your son, your only begotten son, Isaac, and take him up to Mount Moriah, place him on the altar, and sacrifice him to me. Isaac was a young lad now. Abraham said, yes, I will, Lord. Faith is an act. So he takes Isaac. He's got the wood, and he's got the fire. He's got some young men. He tells the young man, you stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I shall return. Wow, is that faith? Abraham and son Isaac start walking up Mount Moriah. Isaac's getting a little nervous here. Dad, we got the wood for the sacrifice. We got the fire. Where's the lamb? Abraham spoke Hebrew, and he said, Yahweh Yarah. The Lord provided himself a sacrifice. They walked up to Mount Moriah. He put the wood there. Abraham did. Isaac, my son, you're my only son. You're the sacrifice. No fire yet. Abraham draws back the knife, his only begotten son. God says, Abraham, stop, stop. Now I know that thou lovest me more than thine only son. And there was a little sound, a little lamb there, a ram in the thicket, and that was a sacrifice. However, some thousand years later, another son walked up Mount Moriah. He carried the wood too for a while. It was the old rugged wooden cross. This was the Son of God, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus. They nailed him to that wooden cross. They pierced his hands and pierced his feet. He bled. Nobody stopped him. Father loved him. But this was the eternal sacrifice for all of our sins. He came to die. He died for your sins. He died for my sins, for every sin of every human being. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. But Jesus arose from the dead. Let's stay in the Faith is an Act room a little bit longer.
Verse 18, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
So when God said, Abraham, take your son and sacrifice him, Abraham remembered that he said, Isaac's going to have a son, because in Isaac's son shall all nations of earth be blessed. Messiah's coming. So he said, okay, God's word is true. God said this, and God's not a man that he should lie. And so he said, if God said that Isaac's going to have a son, Isaac's going to have a son. Let's stay in the Faith is an Act room a little bit more.
Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
So he said, God said that my son Isaac's going to have a son, and from umbilical cord to umbilical cord will finally come the Messiah. So if he dies, God's going to raise him up from the dead. Now, faith is an act. Dear church all over the world, I love you. God bless you. It's time for us to start living by faith. If you go by the world's directions about money or about your body, about relationships, about anything, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Most of you Christians handle your money according to the world's advice. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says 1/10 of every dollar belongs to God. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God and you are under a curse. See why the rug keeps being pulled out from under you? You have to tithe, and then God will multiply that back. But most of you say, oh, no, 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 no. The world says to save your money. Well, that's why you're not living by faith. Most of you don't handle your body according to the Bible. The Bible says, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Some of the two in God's word and some of the spirit. Here I am. Let them anoint with oil, olive oil, two names of God, Eliyah, the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, most of you say, I believe that, but as soon as a little pain goes, or as soon as you got COVID, away you go and away from your job. If you'll remember, 2 years ago, I told you on the air, COVID was a diabolical plot of the devil. The mask, the shutdowns were to keep you from church, so it was election time. So people could not go and be properly paid, vote properly, so they could mail in the ballots, so they could change the ballots. It was all a hoax. Some of you, every time you get a little COVID, away you go, you have to miss your work all the time and mess up everything. Now, I'm supposed to die with it because I am the Ancient of Days. Dr. Fauci said if I would have it, I would die. I had it. I haven't had the flu for about 22 years. It was a bad flu, I remembered how it was, but I only hurt one night, and I didn't wear a mask, I didn't take a vaccine, I anointed myself with oil, and I ate the Bible food that says healing. I ate raw garlic, it's a natural antibiotic, and I didn't miss a beat. It is time for you, Christian, to believe with Jesus' stripes you're healed. Amen. It's time for you to believe he said his word and healed you. Amen. It's time for you to believe your sore health and cure you. It's time for you to believe if you tithe and give your offerings that my God will supply all of your needs. It's time for you to believe it.
Amen. Amen.
Faith is an act. Okay. Let's go to another room.
Verse 20.
What is the title here? Oh, this is the blessing room. Genesis 27, the blessing room. Let's go get a blessing.
By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
Isaac grew up. It was about time for him to go home and be with God. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau, Genesis says, name means Edom. And Edom is Rush, Rush, Rush by the Volga, Russia. So Russia is a descendant of Esau, and they don't get too many blessings because Esau did not care for God, and Russia does not care for God. But Jacob, whose name was Chaser Israel, got the blessing. Jacob had 12 sons, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it would be through two of those sons would come finally the Messiah, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. One of Jacob's sons' name was Judah, and another was Levi. Judah is the king line. Levi is the priest line. And Mary did not have a male impregnate her. The seed was from God, God's only begotten son. So Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, was of the tribe of Judah by Mary's father, Heli, and was the tribe of Levi, the priest line, by Mary's mother. Look at that. Look at that. The blessing room. Let's look at another room here.
Verse 21.
Okay, 21. Wow, is this one. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and the United States of America. Genesis 47. Wow. Great Britain, America, the United Kingdom, the United States of America.
With Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff.
Okay, it was time for Jacob to go home to be with God. He called all of his 12 sons and blessed them, and Joseph was one of those sons. But Joseph had two sons called Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Jacob, Israel, said, let me bless your two sons. So he blessed Ephraim, and he said, Ephraim, you will be a multitude of nations. A multitude of nations. Manasseh, you will be a great nation. A great nation. Now, Ephraim is the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Manasseh is United States of America. I'll document it for you. We know there were 12 tribes of Israel, but the 12 tribes had a spat. They split. Two of the tribes changed their name to the House of Judah. We love our brother Judah. Some of those are in the land of Israel today, and some are in England because Queen Elizabeth came through that lineage. But there were 10 tribes left. At first, they retained the name, the 10 tribes of Israel. The Bible says they were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian. History documents that the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and settled Europe. Scotland, Ireland, England, which we call Great Britain. But they stopped calling themselves Israel. They started calling themselves Ephraim, the larger of the tribes. Now, when I first started teaching you the book of Hebrews, I told you that Hebrews, in Hebrew, is Eber, and Eber is Brit. Okay? Great Britain, Hebrew, Eber. The colony, the United Kingdom. Look at all the countries in that. Manasseh, a great nation. So, they got persecuted, tyranny arose, like it's arising in America. Couldn't worship as they please. So Manasseh came with the pilgrims, Canada, the United States of America, set up an old rugged cross, dedicated America to the glory of God the Father, the glory of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The first schools were in churches to teach our children the Bible. And the Constitution of the United States of America came from England, Britain, the common law of common law and it came from the Bible. The Constitution is from the Bible. Great Britain, Ephraim, America, Manasseh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at another room here.
22.
Look, this is the dreamer's room. The dreamer's room. And this would be Genesis chapter 50.
By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones.
So we know that one of the sons of Jacob was Joseph. Joseph's brother was jealous of him. He had a dream, and the prophetic dreams, I have that same dream. People don't always understand that, but you see things that God shows you in dreams. Well, they got jealous of him. They put him in a pit, sold him to slavery in Egypt. They put him in prison. But because of the gift of dreams, the Bible says, my gift makes room for me and brings me before great kings. Pharaoh had a dream. They took Joseph out of prison. He interpreted, and Pharaoh made him the second ruler of the land. Then there was a famine in the land. Joseph, by the help of God, saved them from famine, all of Egypt, and then brought his dad, Jacob, Israel, and all 70 of the Israelites down to Egypt and saved that lineage. So eventually, the Messiah, Jesus, can come through that. But God had told Joseph, after your family dies, there's going to be a new Pharaoh who will not know how you saved Egypt. And he's going to put all of the children of Israel into slavery. And he said, but God is going to send you a deliverer. So Joseph told them, he said, when you're delivered out of Egypt, take my bones with you. Now let's look at one more room.
Verse 23.
This is called the delivery room. The delivery room.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
The new Pharaoh was getting so afraid. There were so many Israelites. God was blessing them. And he said, they're going to take over my country. So the new Pharaoh ordered that every male child would be killed. But there was a godly man and woman, Amram and his wife Jochebed. They had a beautiful little boy. They named him Moses, drawn out of the water. And they knew Messiah was going to come through the Hebrew people to the Israelites. So they hid that little baby for 3 months. When they could no longer hide him from Pharaoh, they put him in a little ark and put him in the water of the Nile River. Now look at that. God has it all taken care of. And so at that very moment, nothing ever happens by chance. The daughter of Pharaoh comes down for her daily bath with her handmaidens. And she sees the little baby, Moses cries. He is so beautiful. He's so precious. Her mother's parts start working there. She hugs him and she falls in love with him. I am going to be the mother of this baby. This is one of the Hebrew children. I love this baby. This is going to be my baby. My dad, Pharaoh, will make him his king. And Jochebed, the mother, had the Moses' sister Miriam looking there. Miriam said, Your Majesty, Mrs. Pharaoh's daughter, would you like for one of the Hebrew women to nursemaid the little baby and be its nanny? Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, do that, and I'll even pay her to do this. So Moses' own mother, Jochebed, gets to take little Moses to Pharaoh's palace there. But you know what else? She nursed him. But she told him about the promised Messiah. And she told Moses, God's going to use you to be the deliverer. God's going to use you to deliver the children of Israel out so they can go to the promised land, so Messiah, to save the world, could be born. Moses had it made. Pharaoh loved him like a son. He had all the money you could want, and he had everything. He had great education, but he was a deliverer.
Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
He went out checking on the Israelites. The calling was on him. He saw the Egyptians beating an Israelite. Moses had righteous indignation, and he killed the Egyptian. He probably didn't mean to, but then he knew there was a law in the land. The murderer shall be put to death, so he has to run.
Verse 25. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt.
So he ran to a place called Midian. Now, the Bible tells us that after Abraham's first wife, Sarah, died, he married again. He married Keturah. And Abraham and Keturah had a son called Midian. So look at that. Moses runs to Abraham territory. And the descendant of Midian is Jethro. He's a high priest. This is the right lineage. And he has a beautiful daughter named Zipporah. So Moses marries the priest of Midian, Abraham, daughter Zipporah, and he takes care of Jethro's flock on the backside of a mountain. The angel of the Lord appears to Moses in a flaming bush. Moses says, that bush is not burning. What is that? So he approaches it, and God calls to Moses out of the burning bush. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The ground whereon thou stand is holy ground. Moses falls to his face and worships him. And he says, who art thou, Lord? God says, I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I have heard my children's cry in Egypt, and I'm going to send you, Moses, to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. It wasn't easy. It was not easy, but Moses led them out and through the wilderness 40 years and finally into the promised land. Why could Moses give up all of that cushy life? Why?
For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
The reward was not about Moses. You're not about you. You're about the kingdom. The Messiah came, and anyone in Jesus is rewarded eternal life. Did you enjoy your faith tour?
Amen. Amen.
I pray your faith increase. I pray you're blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you,
I'm
Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was an awesome lesson.
Awesome word.
Yeah, awesome.
David
word.
Left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:2.
That is great, Scott. We did not collude. Yeah. That is the Holy Spirit. You heard me. I used that and said, what a mansion. Remember, fantastic, fantastic. In a moment, I'm going to pray for someone to be healed. But first, all over the world, God bless you. I feel your spirit. We're in almost every country now. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love you. God bless you. Anybody out there not saved, pray this prayer with me, and God will save you right now. Now, we can't call him Father yet until we get saved. After you get saved, you can call him Father, but not yet. Dear God, I am a sinner.
Dear God, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Wash away all my sins with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash away all my sins with the precious blood of Jesus.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
And put me in the right place in your church.
And put me in the right place in your church.
To serve.
To serve.
To serve.
To serve.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen. Amen. Now in cyberspace, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell quite a few people. I invite you to tell me. In a moment, you'll hear Scott, my announcer, give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave a confession on there, and I will pray for you. Now you may call him Father in Jesus' name. You don't pray to Jesus. Jesus is a password. Father in Jesus' name. And you want to pray every day by yourself in your little prayer place. You want to read the Bible every day? All new Christians start with the Gospel of John. And if you keep listening to me, we'll get the whole Bible. So go and live for Jesus. Now, you also may email me your confession of salvation or your prayer requests or your praise reports or your comments. My email is Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now for healing. I feel someone has got some kind of an aggravating, annoying pain in the lower abdomen. It's aggravating. It's not so brutal that you can't stand it, but it's just there and it hurts. In the name and the power of Jesus, lower abdomen, be healed in the name of Jesus. All organs get in order. Bladder, get back in your position. All that area, the blood circulating, in the name of Jesus, pain be gone. He sent his word and healed you. Everything get back into position. Everything working properly in divine order. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. Jesus bore your pain. Your stomach is healed. The lower abdomen, where it's been protruding there, it starts coming back in. That thing that was out of place is moving back in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen. And we say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
All over the world, I love you. I feel your spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Give it all up for him, and you'll never forget it. I love you, too, with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time you and I get together all over the world as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Then I ran the red light. like lightning hit my veins. My dead heart began to beat. Breath of God filled my lungs, and the Holy Ghost awakened me. Yeah, the Holy Ghost.
So kind to me. Oh, yeah. mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me. Snow wall, you won't kick down, I won't tear down, coming after me. Snow shadow, you won't light up, mountain, you won't climb up.
Coming after me, oh no! Snow White. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
It's important for you to know God's Word, but it's also more important for you to believe the Word that you know.
Jonathan Evans says, when we take God at His Word, we're able to live life beyond our circumstances.
You can be in a storm, but you can be changed in the storm because you have God's Word.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. No matter how much you've experienced and overcome in your life, sometimes it seems like the next crisis is just around the corner. Well, true or not, Jonathan Evans reminds us today that God can take us safely through the storm. Let's join him as he brings a lesson from the life of Paul, who, although he suffered perils from shipwreck to snakebite, found the faith to shake it off.
In Acts 28, you see that they have come to a place called Malta, and the natives showed extraordinary kindness. They kindled a fire for Paul and everyone who had come off the ship. But when Paul had begun to help get some wood, because of the heat, a viper fastened itself to his hand. And the people who were around at that point said, yeah, he ain't gonna make it. He made it out to sea. But now that this viper's got a hold of him, surely he's gonna swell up and die. But Paul, being filled of the Holy Spirit, just shook the creature off.